and John, preaching and teaching. Then there's the other part. Character flaw. Something's missing. Simon was a fake. He was a fraud. His motivation was self-promotion and self-interest. His lust for power uncovered his true heart. God knew his heart all the while, and its hypocrisy. You see, he was connected with fame, notoriety, people looking up to him. And man, when people were seeing, as he saw what God was doing through Peter and the laying on of hands, he wanted that for fame, for notoriety again in his life. And people look up to him. That's what he was accustomed to. Hypocrisy was found in him. Francis Bacon said, a bad man is worse when he pretends to be a saint. Now, again, I have to believe he was saved. He was a saint, a child of God. By the way, that's what saint means. I grew up in a religion where they taught that a saint was somebody very special, that had just miraculous life and had to have performed at least 2 miracles. They had criteria that determined, then they put it to vote, then yes, he's a saint, she's a saint. Well, the trouble with that is it's not in the Bible. The Bible says all believers are called saints, okay? It's not some great sainthood. The question is, are we ourselves perhaps at times pretenders? Do we labor more on the condition of our outside than our inside? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And he looked on Simon's heart, and there was a problem there. There was an issue. I'm not saying he's not saved, but there was a problem in his heart. François Duc de la Rochefoucauld said this, if you can say that. He said, we are so accustomed to wearing a disguise before others that we are unable to recognize ourselves. We can deceive ourselves with strong delusion, thinking we are all that when we're not. So careful to protect the outside and what people see. But God does look on the hearts. He wants us to be real, to be genuine. Arthur Adams said this when it comes to hypocrisy. He says, don't stay away from church because there are so many hypocrites there. There's always room for one more. Mark it down. God knows your heart. He knows our motives. And he knows when we are deluded. As Simon the sorcerer was, would God's words to you today be the same as in verse 21 that Peter expressed to Simon, thy heart is not right in the sight of God? You say, well, preacher, you're not speaking to me. You're speaking to someone else here. For goodness sakes, it's Sunday night. I'm of the Sunday night crowd. Well, you may be here Thursday too. We're not talking about the outward appearance. God looketh upon the heart. And this is where the problem was when it comes to this Simon. The happiest Christians, the most effective Christians, are the ones who are transparent. And transparency comes by keeping your heart right in the sight of God. And that would be the thrust tonight. The proposition, every believer must assure that his heart is right in the sight of God. And so look, just a few points regarding this Simon. Now we see in verse 20 that Peter shows Simon his error. His error. Verse 20 says, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Wrong thinking. Simon overvalued the wealth of this world. Simon thought money could purchase the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen, salvation cannot be purchased. Simon undervalued the gift of the Holy Ghost, placing it on an equal level with the things of this world, which can be purchased. And he had money coming in from his sorcery of years past. He thought that the power of the apostles could be had for a good fee, as the advice of a good doctor, a good lawyer. You can afford the better ones. All the buying and selling of pardons and indulgences in the Church of Rome was the product of that same wicked thought, that same philosophy, that same belief that it could be purchased. But the gifts of God are priceless and cannot be purchased. You're saved tonight. It's because of the love and mercy and forgiveness of Almighty God. You didn't pay a penny for it. You couldn't give $1 million. $1 billion couldn't buy the forgiveness of your sins. Neither could buy the gifts of God. You can't buy heaven. You can't buy the forgiveness of sins. And you can't buy God's love. And you can't earn it either. It's made clear in Isaiah 64:6 that all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. As if we could earn our way to heaven. As if we could approach the holiness of God with the sinfulness that we are. That's what the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come well short of His glory, of His holiness. And certainly it cannot be purchased or earned. Do we sometimes equate or give greater value to the things of this world than the things of God? Money, possessions, recreation, things of this world. Has the devil been successful in drawing us away from putting our focus on our hearts before God? We're told in 1 John 2, verse 15, not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we need to be careful of that admonition. Simon the sorcerer, you're a little messed up. He was involved in the world. This was his whole life. And making the change as a believer and growing, he had a problem. So Peter shows him his error. He thought he could buy it. Peter shows Simon the cause of his error. Where did he get this kind of thinking? That he could buy off God. Well, buy the gifts of God. Notice verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. The issue is his heart. That's the problem. Although Simon was saved, he was nevertheless still so worldly, the same natural carnal man as he was before. And so he could not have the right understanding of what was being done and why God was using these men with these miracles and the laying on of hands. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Hey, Simon, though you profess to believe and you were baptized, you're not sincere. You're not real inside in your heart. You're professing one thing on the outside. Simon's heart was not right, and he was only what his heart was. Selfish, self-directed. He wanted glory. He wanted fame. He wanted people to look at him like they used to. But now they're looking at Peter. Now they're looking at John, at Philip. He didn't want the power of the glory for the glory of God and the exaltation of Christ. He wanted it for his own self-glory and gain. And remember back at 9 and 11, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time, in the same city, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. This is what he was used to. 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest. I mean, even the most notable people in the city looked up to him, thought he was some great one, saying, this man is the great power of God. This is what he's used to, and it's what he wanted back. Something wrong with his heart. It was self-directed. Simon had had a name for himself among the people, and now with his profession of faith and baptism, he now had a good name among God's people too. But his character was still flawed, and this was the cause of his error, why he believed and thought the way he did. Motive reveals character. What's truly in someone's heart determines who they truly are, not what we see on the outside. And again, Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Proverbs 23:7, a spiritual application here. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what's in here is who you really are, not what people see out here. It was a character flaw in his heart. We need to be reminded that what people think of us is not what's most important, but rather what God thinks of us, what God knows about us. And the Bible is necessary for determining our true condition. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it speaks of the power of the Bible in light of your light, mine. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book here, God uses to get down to the heart, to help us see our true heart, and to weed out the character flaws. Now, every one of us is not perfect. There isn't one that's perfect in this room. And we have strengths and we have weaknesses. But we need to pursue what might be in our heart that's not correct, because it'll affect what we do and why we do it. This evening, do you have Christian character in your interactions with people? How you behave and what you do when you're not here? What are your motives? Why do you serve the Lord? Why did you come to church this evening? To worship and to be edified and strengthened in the Word of God? Or only out of a sense of duty? Or perhaps because of what people will think? We should be in the house of God. We should be in the Word of God for what God can do for us, for Him. So Peter shows Simon his error. Peter shows Simon the cause of his error. And sadly, Peter shows him also the consequences of his error. Now look again, verses 20 and 21 of Acts 8. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Peter told him that he had no part, no role, no lot, that means no share or reward in this matter, in this ministry. Simon, we can't use you in your present condition. And neither will God use anyone whose heart is not right. We need to be clean vessels before God, and his heart was not. Are we usable by God? Are we clean, sanctified, surrendered, and in submission to the Lord? Peter also told him that his money would perish with him. If you're born again, you will not perish. Praise the Lord. But what of your money? Will its value perish? Ill-gotten money or misappropriated money doesn't last. Simon had gotten his bribery money by sorcery. How do you come by your money? Is any of it ill-gotten? Do you misappropriate your money? Do you leave God out? Money, or mammon, is a very discerning tool of God. It weeds out the hypocrite and he who is real and genuine. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon and money. Only one can you serve. Only one you can be true to in your heart. Money is a tool to be used in ministry and in life. But what a tool it is for God to know the condition of a heart of man. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not that money is the root of all evil. Love of money. That which drives people to attain more and have more. Which while some coveted after, 1 Timothy 6:10, They have erred from the faith. And here's a problem that Simon had. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's consequences. And there was consequences for his error. The cause of his error, his heart wasn't right. And he thought and acted accordingly. And it kept him out of the ministry that he could have been so useful in. The consequence of Simon's error not only cost him being used of God in ministry, but also cost him his peace and joy. Acts 8, verse 23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, Peter said to him, and in the bond of iniquity. Bitterness. You're not enjoying the joy and the love of God. You're not enjoying the peace. You're not enjoying transparency before God because there's a problem in your heart. And Proverbs 13:15 tells us the way of transgressors is hard. There was consequence and there will always be consequence for such an error. But ultimately, while Peter shows him his error, shows Simon the cause of his error and the consequences of his error, he also shows him confession for his error. And notice verse 22. Simon, repent. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. And pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Go to the Lord in confession. That's what you need to do. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that verse almost every day. And it's certainly what Simon needed in his life. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. A true sorrow. And when we sin, that's what we need to. Confession is necessary when we have whatever error in our life. So, looking at Simon the sorcerer's life, making application in your life and mine, are we real? Are we genuine? Are we transparent? Or are we going through the motions? Are you in the Word of God? Faithful to the house of God? Faithful to pray? Faithful in giving? Faithful in all these areas? These are good indications of the realness and the genuineness of our Christian walk. Are our motives pure and true? Improper motives lead to poor choices, and there's always a cost or a consequence for poor choices. And Simon, sadly, was learning that. And God recorded this in the Word of God for you and I to be reminded. Simon's motives weren't pure, and it cost him an opportunity for ministry. The Apostle Paul was very concerned about that, that he'd be put aside on the shelf, so to speak, that he would become a castaway. He loved the Lord, served him, but he was always very careful of his heart. In spite of failures in character and motive, pure and true confession is always available and can provide for restoration. Could Simon be used down the road? Absolutely. That's the beauty of confession and true forgiveness of God. Is it always? Notice it can provide for restoration. Sometimes there are certain ministries we cannot be in because of something that has occurred in our lives. God help us to be true blue, to be in the Word of God, to be genuine, to sing loudly when we worship our God in song, faithful to prayer, the Word of God in the house of God. Let's bow our heads.